Okay, we're over here, Shir HaShirim, Hey Gimel. I think that's what my fancy marker over here tells me. And of course, you know, Rashi over here is very powerful, but we're not dealing with Rashi. The Chosin in the Moshul, I mean, let's forget Moshul and Nimshul, because Sipurna doesn't really work completely with that. But according to Rashi, at least, the storyline is that the Chosin comes banging on the door, Pischili, Achosi, Rayosi, and so forth. Open up! I'm coming in the wet dew of the night, and she says, Poshati es kutonte echochel b'sheno, chatzti es ragla echocha atanfeim. She says, I have taken off my clothing. I'm going to go get dressed up and go for you. I wash my feet, I'm going to dirty my feet. You know, they must have dirt floors. They didn't have carpeted floors like we have, or whatever. And chatzti es ragla echocha atanfeim. Then all of a sudden, doidi sholach yodu min achor. She sees his hand, more than just his voice. Umei homu alov. And her insides, her intestines churn with love. And then she jumps up, kamti ani levsoech ledoidi. So Rashi says, belev sholem uvenefesh chafetzo. She has a full heart and a passionate desire for him. She runs out, he runs away, she's running after him, and so forth. And just the concept is very powerful, because on the one hand, she seems so negative, right? She's so obnoxious. And then all of a sudden, she sees his hand, and everything turns around. So I always point out that it can only be that Klal Yisroel in them, and the Moshul Rashi says is the Klal Yisroel in the relationship with Hashem in the Golos. That's what Rashi says. So I say Klal Yisroel in the Golos, no matter how antagonistic we are, it's only skin deep. When we rebel against Hashem, when we don't like, we're angry, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm this, and I turn away, and I'm off the derech, and I'm all these things, it's skin deep. Deep down, there's that love there. Because if there wasn't love deep down, then just the difference between hearing the voice and seeing the hand could not bring forth such a dramatic turnaround. That instead of poshati eskutonti, I'm not going to dirty my feet to get off the bed to open the door for you, even though you're begging me and you're wet from the dew of the night and you're miserable. And then all of a sudden, such a lev sholim with a nefesh chafetza, she jumps out of bed with a passionate love to open the door. It must be that it was there all along. It's just that she's buried it, and then something brings it forth. She saw his hand. Something churns, something touches, something clicks, and all of a sudden it happens. Anyway, but that's not the Sipurnu. Sipurnu learns, where are we up to here? I lost the place. Shati es kutonti, echoche b'sheno. Look at this. Look what he says on this pasuk. So the pasuk says, "Poshati eskutonti." I took off my garment. How can I put it on? Rochatzi esra. I washed my feet. How can I dirty them? So the Sipurnu learns different. He says, "Poshatiti inyan hasoras." No, that's the mitzudas. I'm sorry. Poshatiti eskutonti hanichbedes b'teiru masim tovim lehis aneg b'tanugois zemanius. Peshati Eskutonti, Klal Yisrael here is saying to Hashem, I have taken off my garment of respect, which is, what's my garment of respect? Torah Umasim Tevim. In other words, I've forsaken, I've cast away my Torah Umasim. This is Klal Yisrael in the Golos. This is at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. One of the things that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because of the Bittul Torah, because it says that it was destroyed because of the Gimel Averos Chamuros, Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Domim. But Chazal say HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been Mevater. He would have forgiven the Gilui Arayos and the Shfichas Domim, and Avodah Zorah, but on the Bittul Torah he couldn't be Mevater. That's why Chazal say when the Nevi'im, they said, Al Me'ov the Ha'oretz, And the Gemara there says that means they didn't say Birchas HaTorah, which means there was something lacking in their appreciation of the Torah, and that was the clincher. Had the Chashivus HaTorah been paramount, even if they had been doing Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Domim, they still could have survived. but I could, Kodesh Baruch Hu couldn't be mevatla on the bittel, on mevater on the bittel Torah, because on the bittel Torah it's all over. If there's no chashivas haTorah, then you know they didn't make birchas haTorah. They didn't appreciate what that was. That. So most people say that the Birchas HaTorah is representative of the Chashivos of the Torah. In other words, it isn't poshut that they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. Maybe they even did say Birchas HaTorah Mestom. If they were still observant, they said Birchas HaTorah. Maybe they didn't, I don't know. But what it really represents is Birchas HaTorah represents the expression of this is not a science. This is not just a secular subject. This is life. Hashem Bochar Bonu, He chose us from all the nations and He gave us His Torah. You know, someone once described to me a beautiful picture. Reb Simcha Wasserman, Zecharenu Levracha, was like a pioneer of Kiruv on the West Coast, Reb Elchonon Wasserman's son. So he used to travel from Los Angeles to different places. One place was Santa Barbara. He traveled regularly there, about an hour and a half out of L.A., 2 hours. And he got together a group of people, completely irreligious, and he would learn Chumash with them. They were completely no shaykhas. I don't think that they were necessarily even dressed right, whatever it was. But before he would learn with them, he made everybody say Birchas HaTorah. And the idea was, I must show you that what we're doing now is not like math and science and English and French and algebra and who knows what. This is Teres Hashem. This is something else. Hashem bochar bonu mikol ha'amim v'nosan lono esteres. So anyway, so that's something. Anyway, so there was something that we took the kovod, we took the beged, poshatias kutonti, this beged of hanichbedes that was honor, this honorable garment with Teres Masim Tevim. And why? And this is critical. Liesanik b'tanugois smanius. We gave up the Torah to indulge in temporary pleasures. Temporary pleasures. That seems to be the... let's go on another puzzle. We'll come back to just another piece, and we'll see it together. So then he continues, Echochel Bosheno. How I've cast away this garment, which is so honorable with Torah and Masim Tovim. Echochel Bosheno. How can I wear it again? How can I put it on again? Lilmoid ulalame. I can't teach. I can't learn. And I can't teach. Why? Ki omram shona upirish kosher mikulam. One who's shona upirish, one who's learned, and then leaves, runs away from the Torah. That's the hardest thing of all. That's the hardest position to be in. And it seems what the Sipurna is saying, two things. Number one, he tells us, why did I run away? Shonu pirish koshem ikulam lechoira doesn't define why I ran away. It doesn't give a reason. It says, if you learned Torah and then you ran away from it, pirish, you separated yourself from it, then you're in a terrible situation. To come back is the hardest thing. We know it's much easier to inspire people who never learned to become Bali Tshuva than it is to inspire someone who was and ran away to come back. That's much harder. So, but that doesn't have to be lechoira with tanugi elam hazeh. It says anyone who shonu pirish, and yet he seems to be very. And the posuk doesn't say it. Says boshati es kutonti. It seems that the Sipurnu understood that this. How can you give up the Torah? It's so mechubed. You know what it is. You know, if a person doesn't know what it is today, that's one thing. But you know what it is. You grew up in Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Beis Hamikdash. There was a Sanhedrin Gedoyla in the Lishkas Hagozis, and there was the greatest Talmidei Chachomim, and the Torah was on the highest level. And you forsake it, you threw it away. But Shati Eskutonti Hanichpedes, I've taken off the mantle, so to speak. That would be the English, the mantle of Torah, which is so distinguished. That only happens because of desires, physical desires. Because otherwise, the Torah is in sync with all emotional and spiritual and psychological needs that a person has. The only thing the Torah is not necessarily in sync with is all the worldly pleasures, because many of these worldly pleasures are forbidden to us. I can't eat chazer. I can't have bosa b'cholov. I can't indulge in gilui arayis. I can't go steal anything that I want. Just because I see something, I'm going to go pick it up. I see a nice car, I'm going to just drive it away. You know, I can't do these things. So I'm limited in worldly pleasures. And it's the worldly pleasures, and I would say the call of the body rather than the soul, That distracts a person from Torah. Otherwise, the Torah is so nichbedes, and I think that's what he means. Ha poshatis konti ha nichbedes b'Torah masim tovim. A person has covered. When he has ma'asim tovim, he has covered. He has Torah. He feels good. He has a purpose in life. He's living the purpose in life. He has connection with the Creator. What more could you ask for? The only thing more you could ask for is your body is craving for certain pleasures, desires, and especially things that we see and we're jealous of. And, you know, that's what it says. Achrei Nechem refers to Taiva, to Arayas, because the eye sees, as Chazal even say, eye in Roya, v'halev choymed. I see and heart's desire. We tend to desire what we see. So Memela, that's what pulls us away. And that, it seems, is what Shono Pirish is. You don't find people going away from Torah for intellectual reasons. It's not intellectual. There's nobody has any intellectually. Not shaykh. There's nothing as intellectual, as intellectually satisfying, as straight, as sensitive, as deep, as meaningful, as real, as clear, as beneficial. As it's the ultimate, and everybody knows that. And not only that, you have a society today that's falling apart at the seams. Why is it falling apart at the seams? Because there's no moral authority. No moral authority. The Christian world accepted the Bible. That's true, but you know what they do about the Bible? They say they could change it, right? That's the whole thing. They change that in the New Testament. Once you can change it, the whole thing is no authority. The minute you can tamper with authority, there is no authority. You undermine the whole authority. So there's no authority in the world. Torah is an authority. I have an authority, and that's I'm an authority. An authority given to me by the one who created us himself. So I have the manual from the Creator who tells me the purpose for which he created the world and the ultimate moral authority. That satisfies all my needs except for one. My eyes that see and my heart that desires physical pleasure. And I guess he just puts in this world is just an adjective to describe it, because he calls it tanugim, tanugois, zmanios. What's the contrast? It's so stupid, because the Torah and its benefits are eternal. This world is in reality a continuum. It starts here and it goes on forever. The neshama lives on forever. And the nurturing and the satisfying and the benefits and the dveikus in Hashem that the neshama achieves in this world continues on to eternity. But the body craves for temporary experiences. The most, even if you're having the greatest hanoah, how many years are you going to have? 70, 80, 90. By the time you're 90 already, you're not going to have any hanoah in these things anyway. You know, so what do you have? It's hanoah, zmanius. And for that, you're giving up everything? And that's why he says, shonu upirish koshum ikula. But it's interesting. One who indulges to the extent in those tainugim gashmiim, a chochel b'shenu, lilmeid ulalamid, is very, very difficult. Now, it doesn't say impossible. A chocha, it's interesting that the Sipurnu learns, a chocha al bishenu doesn't mean it's impossible. Because he says, shonu upirish koshe mikulam. Means, what? Well, it's not a contradiction, but the body craves the physical pleasures. What? Because, oh no, but yeah, because the Torah doesn't permit the Torah. First of all, the Torah.
You're right.
It both go away, because they go together. Because if a person doesn't keep the mitzvahs, the Torah itself doesn't have any real meaning. The real meaning of the Torah is almanas lasis. That it's meshabit, that it obligates. I'm studying my obligations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what connects me. When there's no sweat, when there's no skin, there's no obligation. It's not real. It's just an intellectual pursuit. It's because it has obligation. That's the Yerushalmi says, Haloimed Shalom Anaslasus Noach Loi Shalom Nivra. One who learns Shalom Anaslasus would have been better off not being created. Because he misses the whole point of creation. The whole point of creation is his connection to Hashem. And if he's Almanas Lasus, there is no connection, there is no nothing. Okay, anyway, not Almanas Lasus. Anyway, so he says, Shono Pirish Kosh Mikula, Rochatzti es Raglai, Litanug. Rochatzti, he says again, refers to a form of pleasure. You know, he's enjoying life, he's having pleasure. Echocha Tanfeim, Kovrim Zal, Vahoritz Tishon, Vahayitzar Tichye. So here he says there's two things. One is to come back is very difficult. Because once I indulge, once I forsake the Torah for Tanugim Zmanim, it's very hard to come back. But it's not impossible. But then he says, Echocha Atanfeim, I wash my feet, how can I get them dirty? So he says like this. Chazal say, Al Oretz Tishan, how do you learn Torah? You have to be willing to sleep on the floor, live a life of pain, and work in the Torah. So he says that a person who is Rochatzti es Raglai Litanug, one who is so indulged in Tanug, then the pshat is that you can't get to this level of Torah. In other words, the indulgence in Tanug is a contradiction of two things. Number one, it's a motivation to give up everything because the Torah limits it. Number two, it does something else. The sacrifice that's needed, the self-sacrifice, the material sacrifices, the physical, the bodily sacrifices, sleep on the floor. And that doesn't mean you have to sleep on the floor. Don't sleep on the floor tonight. But I have to be ready. You know, when I came to the yeshiva in 1959, they had a building that actually burnt down after a while. It was the most disgusting thing that you can imagine, and they had no rooms available. And I lived far away, so I wasn't going to travel. It took an hour and a half to get by train to get to the yeshiva, more, I remember, something like that. So, but they had a storage room. In the storage room, they had old beds there, and they had junk, and it was full of cobwebs and dust like you have no shaitas. Yeah? And I found myself a bed there, and that's where I slept. You know what I mean? And if I wouldn't have been ready to do that, I don't know, maybe I would have given up, you know? That's too much of a schlep, I can't go, with this and that. So, you know, we'll forget about it, you know? But that's what makes the difference. So, see, but that, you hear? The chayei tzar, the al-oretz tishon, and chayei tzar tichya, uva teira ato omel, once a person has rochatzti es raglai betanugim, once he's into tanugim, then it's very, very difficult. Even if he manages to get back to a life of Torah and mitzvahs, it's very difficult to make those sacrifices. That's why in Shiduchim, people often, you hear guys talking about Shiduchim, they say, well, she's high maintenance. You know, if a person wants to learn in Koilel, and he wants to consider a life of Torah and Chinuch and these things, so you have to be careful, because a person who's used to Tanugi Olam Hazeh, and a person who, you know, drives fancy cars and is going out to dinner in the fancy restaurants and is buys very expensive clothing and this, such a person is going to have it very difficult to be Alor Chayit El Aretz Tishon, Chayit Zar Tichye, and in Memela, a person, you know, feels that he has to do that. So those are the two things. So one is that the tanugim zmanim are what lead a person away, and that's the only thing. If not for tanugim, the Torah satisfies everything. The only thing the Torah may not completely satisfy is the bodily needs. And if you look, you know, when you look, you desire, you want. So sometimes people will cast away the Torah for the bodily needs. Those are only zmanim. What do you accomplish? Before you know it, it's all over. And you didn't accomplish anything. You gave up so much. And even if you try to come back, the mesiras nefesh that's needed for a life of Torah is going to become very difficult for one who was rochatzti es raglai betanugim echocha tanfein. Then to go back to sleeping on the floor or sacrificing is going to be very hard. So therefore, I guess the upshot of this whole posuk and this whole discussion with the Sipurnu is we have to be very, very careful about indulging too much in tanugim gashmiim, because they tend to have a very negative effect, and they can even counter, And that's a chiddush nifla, the positive fulfillment, that sense of meaning and purpose and life and everything that a life of Torah can have. And therefore, that becomes so dangerous.